Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erev in Daf Ches, and we are learning today Leili Nishmas Etta Kramer, Etel Cherna Bas Yitzchak Aaron, and also for Abraham Spector, Avram Ben Peretz. All the Shomos we learn for should have an Aliyah. And we begin at the very, very top of the Omud. Unusual, we begin the very first word on Daf Ches Omud Aleph. Remind ourselves that in yesterday's share, we were talking about a reconciliation of the opinion of Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba that we brought down in the name of Rav with a previous statement that Rav Yehuda had made. He had originally made a statement in the name of Rav, and then he made a statement that was unattested to, whether it was to Rav or to Shmuel. And originally we thought that there was a stira between the first statement that Rav Yehuda had made, unnamed, with the statement that Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba had made in the name of Rav. So we originally said that there was a problem, a stira between them, and then we gave a teretz yesterday at the end of the shiur that we said, no, there really is no stira between them. One is talking about where the people from the chotzer to the mavoi made an eruv, and the other was talking about where the people from the chotzer to the mavoi did not make an eruv. And that solved all the problems, and that made it that there wasn't a stira between the first statement of Yehuda and the statement of his Rebbe Rav. Today we're going to go back, however, and look at that. What was the Hava mean? Or what were we thinking originally when we said there was a stira? So, the Gemara now tells us at the very top, Ches Omer Aleph, Ulamai Desolik. What exactly were we originally thinking? What was the original Havamina? As Rashi points out here in the very top Rashi, Dafilu Beirvu, even originally we said that when they did make an error between this Chotzer and the Mavoi, nevertheless, Rav said it was Osir Rav, and the reason was V'taima Mishom Duma Foolish, because he says this was a Mavi Mufulish. It went straight through the passing through of the Mavi, passing through to the Chotzer, to the breach in the wall behind it into the other Rishus HaRabim. So it was a Mavi Mufulish. Went from one Rishus HaRabim all the way through the Mavi, the Chotzer, through the breach in the back of the Chotzer into the other Rishus HaRabim. So Rav had said in that situation, Afilu Be'irvu, even if there was an Erev, Rav had made it Osir. But this was only Dafka Nifritza. It was only when that back wall of the Chotzer was broken. It was the direct breach, and it was a Mavi Mufulish. So in that situation, he said that they're not allowed to go and carry. But if there wasn't the breach in the back wall, he said even if they didn't make an Erev, they would still be allowed to carry. So the Gemara tells us over here, our original thinking was as follows. Bein she'irvu u'bein she'lo irvu plige. There was a seeming contradiction between Rav Yehuda's statement and Rav's statement, whether they made an Erev between the Chotzer and the Mavoi, or whether they didn't make an Erev between the Chotzer and the Mavoi. So what exactly was going on? Bein she'irvu, bein she'lo irvu plige, so be'irvu b'may plige. What was their machlokis in regards to they did make an Erev between the Chotzer and the Mavoi? So the Gemara says, what is the machlokis b'shelo irvu b'may plige? And what was the machlokis in the situation? What was the havamin in the situation where they didn't make the Erev? So Gemara goes through each case. B'shelo irvu, sometimes it mentions the first one, sometimes it mentions the second one when you have these two, when you have this two statements. So it's a pattern. I always call it A-B, A-B, or it's A-B-B-A. They'll give the 2 points, and then they'll either go back and address them in the order that they were given, or they'll go address the latter one first. Here we address the latter one first. The machlokas was b'shelo irvu, in a case where they didn't have an Erev, as Rashi says over here, on the less the wide lines, kilo nifritza, in a situation where there was no breach in the back wall. So Rav said in that situation, this is a mavui stam, and therefore you're allowed to go and carry, as long as you make a lechi, a korah up front, the chatzar and the erev don't ruin it for each other. So the opinion of Shmuel was that they do ruin it. Kilo nifritza, my time of the Shmuel, which was the original thinking we said of Rav Yehuda. We thought Rav Yehuda held like Shmuel. So kilo nifritza, when there was no breach in the back wall, my time of the Shmuel, why did Shmuel say, Yomar b'nei chatzar aswe, that the people in the chatzar should ruin it for the people in the mavui? My time of the Rav, and what was Rav's reasoning? The Omer lo asre. What would Rav say in that situation? That it's not going to asa the people in the Chotzer on the people in the Mavli. So Gemara says, Pligi b'nira mi b'chutz, v'shova mi b'fnim. They're arguing about this principle, which we're going to learn a little bit later on in the Gemara and Daf Tes, but this is a very important machlokas that we are going to say is our machlokas here right now. As Rashi says, the pligi b'amaroi, we're going to have this argument, l'kam and empirikon on Daf Tes, where we're going to see there that there are two opinions. And you have a diagram of this in the art scroll, and you have diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara as well. In the Perish Chai, you can find the best diagram for this on page 18 in diagram 109. And when you look at it from the point of view of the person in the Mavui, he doesn't see the wall that you see there that is on the outside, which is by the Aleph in diagram 109 in the Perish Chai. And what are we talking about? So this situation is that you can only see it from the outside, Mibachutz, but if you're looking at it from the inside, it's perfectly flush. So this wall that's there, which would be a valid separation between the two, and would allow each one to be considered a separate entity, the Mavui and the Chutzah would not be considered one entity. So that's what they're arguing about. That's what Rav Yehuda, which was saying is the opinion of Shmuel, is Havamin is arguing with the opinion that we brought down, Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba, Omer Rav. So, pligi b'nir mibachutz u'shav b'mifnim. Do you or do you not count that wall that's not visible from the inside, but there's a wall there visible on the outside? And we'll learn again more about this in tomorrow's Shia, so we won't go further into it right now, but that's what the machlokas is. So Rav says that that counts, and therefore there is a separation, if you wish, between the chotzer and the mavui, and therefore the chotzer doesn't ruin it for the people in the mavui. And Shmuel says, no, if you don't see it from the inside, then the fact that there's a wall on the outside doesn't help us. So that's what the machlokas is in the case of Bishlo Irvu. Mark continues and says, what's the machlokas in the case of Be'irvu, when they did, in fact, make an Erev from the Chatzer to the Mavoy? They made a connection between the two courtyards with an Erev Chatzer to the Shita from Mavoyos. So Rav says, no, you're not allowed to carry in that area because it's a Mavoy Mefulish. This is what we're talking about when there's a breach in the back wall. And Rav Yehuda says, you are allowed to carry in that situation. So what was our Havimin of that machlokas? Be'irvu. In this situation, what's the machlokas? The Gemara says, "Komifli give me the Rav Yosef." They're arguing with the statement that Rav Yosef made. What was the statement that Rav Yosef made? The Amr of Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Lo shanu ella shekalo li'em tzarechavo." We're talking in this situation where the mavui was flush, one right to the other, with the chatzer, with the opening at the other end. And Rav Yosef said, the reason why Rav Yehuda, saying it in the name of Shmuel, said originally that there is no problem with the Erev, even though there's no Erev between the Chatzar and the Mavui, and even though it's a breach in the back, why does the Chatzar not ruin it for the Mavui? Because we're talking about a case where Shalom lo shanu ella shekola li'emtza rechava. That's when you're looking at it from the point of view of the Mavui going into the Chatzar, you have Mavui going into the Chatzar flush, but you have to the left, you have Chatzar, and to the right, you have Chatzar. And therefore, in this situation, the fact that there is room on both sides, it's not flush, the Mavui going all the way straight through. If you had the wall going on one side all the way straight through to the breach at the end of the Chatzar, then it would be a problem. Here we're talking about where you didn't have that. Avokola letzide rechava, but if in fact you did go straight through, and you can see this in diagram number 73, in the Perish Chai, or in the Illustrated Gemaras. You see this very clearly and beautifully in diagram number 43 on page 15. And of course, there's a diagram in the Art Scroll as well. And in that situation, however, Avokola letzide rechava, when you're talking about flush going all the way from the Rishus HaRabim through the Mavoy, through the Chotzer, to the other Rishus HaRabim, there is a flush wall that goes straight through. In that situation, it would be Usser. Even Rav Yehuda would say, I agree with Rav, that in that situation, it would be Usser. The Chatzar would ruin it for the Mavui. Now, the Gemara says, not so fast. This statement of Rav Yosef has to be examined a little bit more. On Rabba says, Hod the Amris li emtza rechava mutter, that which we said, that Lo Shanu, they're only talking about, they have the machlokes. Rav Yosef made his statement that it's going to be acceptable that the Chatzar doesn't ruin it for the Mavui, is if it's not flush or a straight wall with the Tzidei Rechava, but you have a little bit going to the left and a little bit going to the right beyond the Mavui. He said, in that situation, Hod Yamis Le'emtza Rechava Mutter, as long as it's a little bit not straight Tzidei Rechava, but there's a little bit going to the left and a little bit going to the right, he only said that that is okay, Lo Amorin, that the Chatzar doesn't ruin it for the Mavui, Lo Amorin Ela Zeh Shelo Kineg. That's when it's still not flush. You don't have the opening from the Rishus HaRabim able to see all the way straight through the opening to the other Rishus HaRabim. Even though there's no wall that goes straight through, but it still can't even be seen flush. It can't go from one Rishus HaRabim to the other Rishus HaRabim with straight view. If they would go straight through, it would be still no good, and the Chatzar would ruin it for the Mavui. You can see a diagram of where it doesn't go straight through on page 15 in the Illustrated Gemara in the back on diagram number 44, or in the Perish Chai on page 13, diagram number 74. The art scroll doesn't have the example of it going straight through, but it sees in the diagrams in the art scroll where it doesn't go straight through. Okay, one more additional statement that we have regarding Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Misharsha. Rav Misharsha made a statement about Rav Yosef. He said, "Hod the Amrez Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh Mutter," that which we just brought down in the name of Rabba, that if it's Zeh in this situation, Shelo Keneged Zeh, that it's not going to be able to see from one Rishus Rabbim to the other Rishus Rabbim, only in that situation is it Mutter, as long as you don't have Tzidei Rechova and you have a little bit going to the left, a little bit going to the right, at least beyond the Mavui. He says, Lo Amoron, we still say it's only good Ella Rechava Derabim. That's if the back area, when we said originally we're talking about a Rechava and not a Chatzer, so in this situation, when you're dealing with a Rechava, so we said that is going to be good. If it's a Rechava of Derabim, it doesn't ruin it. Avo Rechava Deyachid, if you have the back area is a Rechava that's owned by an individual, a single person, so then, you know what? Even though you have it right now a little bit to the back, a little to the left, a little bit to the right, he could totally remove one of those back areas and build houses there. And you can see this in the diagrams in Pirush Chai, diagram number 76, or you can see this in the Art Scroll Gemara at the bottom in the diagram with footnote number 15. Zimnim de Mimlachalo, he's going to change his mind. It's an individual. He can do whatever he wants. So he may change his mind, and Ubanu lo Batim, he's going to fill in that area, and now going to be flush. It's now going to be Tzidei Rechava. Ubanu lo Batim, the heavy leg, Kimavu Shekalu lo Tzidei Rechava. It's going to have a straight wall going all the way through from one Rishus Harabim to the other Rishus Harabim, and the Osir. In that situation, it will also be Osir. Now, this is what Rav Misharsha said. Now he's going to bring a proof to it. How do you know that what I'm saying is correct? That we take into account, if it's a personal choice here, this person may fill in his Rechav in the back, the Shadalei Ben Rechav de Rabim, the Rechav de Yochid, and that we make a distinction here with an individual person, he might fill it in, and we have to take that into account. Right now, it's not filled in with houses, but he might come to fill it in with houses, and therefore, we take it into account, as opposed to if it's the Rabim, we don't take into account. So, Rav Misharsha says, where did I get this from? I got it from the following. Where did I get this from? The Shadalei Ben Rechav de Rabim, the Rechav de Yochid? This is based upon the statement, the Omar Rabin by Rav Ada, Omar Rav Yitzchak, Rabin by Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak, Ma'isib Mavui Echo, there once was a Mavui. Now, the way Rashi understands this can be seen in the diagram number 78 on page 13. Diagram number 77 is the way the Ritva learns it, and the Ritva says that Rashi's Pshat fits in better with the words, and we'll learn it like diagram number 78. And that is that you basically have in this situation, so tzidu echod kol liyam, you have one side, you have the mavui going through to Rishus HaRabim. The back of the mavui is a mavui sosum. There are houses and courtyards there, and that's sealed. It doesn't go to another Rishus HaRabim. So this is a regular mavui sosum. As you're coming out of the mavui, to the right you have this ashba, shetidu echod kol liyam, and tzidu echod kol liyashba. One side, it goes to the yam, you have a river or a lake over there, and the other side is an ashba. This ashba is a garbage dump that's piled up more than 10 tvachim, so it functions as a wall. And the yam goes down into the water more than 10 tvachim, so it functions as a wall. So you basically have a three-sided mavui open to the Rishus HaRabim, and all you need to do with the mavui sosim is to put a lechi or a kor at the end. So this is what they had in this town, okay? So Maisa in this town, Bimavi Echad, that had three sides to it, two of the sides being a yam and an ashba. And they asked, well, Maisa lifnei Rebbe, they came to Rebbe, they asked him, can you carry in this area or not, if you put up a lechi? V'lo omar bo lo heter v'lo iser. And he didn't want to paskin it. He didn't want to say, yes, you can do this, or no, you can't do this. You can't matir it with a lechi or a korah. Why? Islo Amar Boy, you don't want to say, no, you can't do this because it's a three-sided mavui. It's a mavui sosum, dokaim mechitzos, and it has good mechitzos. Again, the ashba was more than 10 tvachim tall, so that's a good mechitza. The yam went down within a certain distance more than 10 tvachim, that's a good wall. A wall can be up or a wall can be down. So that's a perfectly good three-sided mavui sosum, and it could be matted with a lechi at the end. However, he didn't want to say it's perfectly good. Heter lo amar bo. You don't want to say, yes, you can carry here. Why? Here's where we get to our point. Chayshinon shemati notel ashba. We have to be concerned that somebody's going to remove the ashba, v'yala hayom sirton, or that the water will become more shallow, that the sand will come here and fill in the water, so it won't be to a depth of 10 tefachim within a certain distance. We'll learn about that later on in the Masechta. When you have a mound going up or you have a depression going down, in order to be considered a wall, it has to be at a certain slope. And if it's at this certain slope that you create within Dalet Amos, a 10 tefach depth, so then that's called a good wall. But here we're afraid that some silt and sand and dirt and other stuff is going to come in to this area, and it's not going to have a depth of the water of 10 tefachim within Dalet Amos. And therefore, it's not going to be a good wall. So in both of these sides, either the side of the Ashbel, we're afraid someone's going to take something away from it and make it less than 10 tefachim, and you lose your wall there. Or in the Sirton, the silt is going to come in there and go and fill in the depth of the water so you don't have a full 10 tefachim in Dalet Amos. And therefore, Rebbe wasn't willing to say, you can use this without any concern, because there is a concern. Now, what's the concern over here? Umi chayshino shemetino lashba. How come Rebbe was concerned that they're going to go and take away some of the garbage from the dump and you're not going to have 10 tefachim anymore? But nan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ashba b'rishus harabim, if you have an ashba in the rishus harabim and it's gavoa yutvachim, the ashba is more than 10 tvachim. So the ashba would be a good wall, but also there's another din here that on top of the ashba has the status of being either a makom tur or a rishus hayachid, depending on the dimensions of the top area. So now, if somebody has a window, an apartment is right on top or over next to this ashba, can you throw stuff out of your window right into the garbage dump? So chalon shal gaba, you have a window, an apartment right next to this ashba, zorkin lo b'shavah. So you're allowed to throw from this rishus hayochid window into the top of this ashba, which is more than 10 tefachim tor, which is either a makom tor, and you can throw from rishus hayochid into a makom tor, or it's a rishus hayochid if it's wide enough, and you're allowed to throw from one rishus hayochid into another rishus hayochid if it's all your rishus hayochid. Now, Alma Shani Bain Ashba de Rabim La Ashba de Yochid. Rabbi said, I'm concerned in this town with this Maisa Shahoya that somebody's going to remove the Ashba. But here the Mishnah says you don't have to be concerned that somebody's going to remove the Ashba. So therefore, Alma, what do you see? Shani Bain Ashba de Rabim. The Mishnah is talking about an Ashba de Rabim, where there is no concern that the Rabim are going to suddenly decide one day and just remove this, and the person's not going to realize this and keep on throwing stuff out from his window, and now it's going to be less than 10 tefachim. He's going to be throwing from Rishus HaYochin to Rishus HaRabim and be over Nisa Deraisa. So in the situation when the Ashba is owned by the Rabim, the Mishnah and therefore Rebbe aren't concerned. But in the case with the Maisa Shahaya, that was an Ashba of Yochid. And therefore, with the Ashba of Yochid, this guy could get up one morning. He doesn't have to ask anybody's permission and just do it. And therefore, that could make that situation be that the Ashba is no longer going to be a good wall. So clearly, there is a difference between, from this Mishnah to what Rebbe said, a difference between an Ashba the Rabbim and Ashba the Yochid. So too, Hochanami, the Gemara says, in our case, there is a difference. Shani bein Rechava the Rabbim and Rechava the Yochid. Rebbe Misharishi's example, he says, if the Rechava in the back is owned by multiple people, so then they're just going to fill in houses over there, and they're not going to just go fill in houses over there, and you don't have to be concerned. But if it's owned by a Yochid, one day he could get up, and before you know it, he fills that in with houses. And now it's flush. You have Tzidei Rechava, and from one Rishus HaRabim, you have flush straight going through to the other Rishus HaRabim, through the Rechava, through the Rechava, and therefore that would be a problem. So we are concerned when it's owned by a Yochid, Rabbi Misharishi says, but not by the Rabbim. And he bases it on from the case that we just brought between Rebbe and the Mishnah. Now, Rebbe had said that he's concerned. He wouldn't let you carry in this area, but he wouldn't say it's also to carry in this area that had the Yam to one side and the Ashba to the other side. No, Rebbe is not the only opinion. The Rabbanan, my, what did the Rabbanan hold in that situation? So we have two different opinions. Rav Yossi bar Avdimi. Rav Yossi bar Avdimi said, Tano, we learned in one brayso of the Chacham Mosrim, the Chacham say, no, you're not allowed to. They're so concerned about Rebbe's statement that they said, we are absolutely going to not allow you to do this because somebody may come to pull away the Ashba, make it less than 10 tefachim, or the river will fill in with silt, and then it'll be a problem. No, it's not a three-sided mavoi. Amar of Nachman, how do we paskin? Halacha k'divrei chacham. We paskin here like the mamachmir opinion of the chachamim that you can carry the chatchila in this area, even if you put a lechi or kor up there. Inka di amre, others had it the opposite. Amar Rav Yosef Erdimi, Rav Yosef Erdimi said, in fact, in this braisa, the chacham matirim, the chacham held a more makel position, and they would allow you to put up a lechi or korah and carry with the ashba to one side and the river to the other side. They weren't concerned that the ashba would be taken down or that the river would fill in with silt to make it no longer a good mechitza. And here, Amar Rav Nachman, how do we paskin? Not like the Chachamim. Ein halacha de Chachamim. So the two versions as to what the Chachamim hold in their machlokis over here with Rabbi. Mireimar was asked a similar situation, and he paskin pasuk le l'surah b'uzle. So in surah, they had, and you can see this in the diagrams in the art scroll in number 24, or you can see this in the Pirush Chai, in the diagram on page 14, that is diagram number 81. And here we're talking about that you had basically a mavui that was going into the yam. It ended on one side in the yam, and the yam has a depth of 10 tefachim within 4 amos, so that would have been a good back wall. It would have made it into a mavui sasum, and you would have then only needed a lechi at the end of the mavui. It would have been a regular mavui sasum, but Mireimar was concerned that maybe the silt would fill in, and he said, therefore, to them, put some sort of an additional mechitza between the mavui and the yam, put some sort of a net, an uzle. Rashi says, Oseh rishasos, you put nets there, muchmuras, traps there, l'chol hamavos, for every one of the ends of each mavui when it goes into the yam, v'lo rotsu lismoch ha-mechitzas ha-yam. He didn't want to rely upon the yam. The Gemara says, Omar, his opinion was, chayshinon shemayala hayam siraton. He was concerned with the opinion that we just brought down that maybe the silt would come in and it would go and fill up some of the depth of the water and you wouldn't have 10 tefachim within dalet amos. Another case, how mavui akum davi besura, there was a mavui akum in surah. We had discussed the bent mavui, this mavui akum the other day, and what they did in this situation in surah, they had this bent mavui. We had brought down a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, what you needed to do in such a situation. Rav felt that you needed to go and put something in by the mavui akum, and Shmuel felt that you didn't, according to the first version that we had in Rashi. According to the second version, he did say you have to put something in, but we're in the first version that, according to Shmuel, you don't have to put in anything. A mavui akum, according to Shmuel, is considered like a mavui sasum. So what did the people in Surah do? They had this bent mavui, this mavui akum, and koruch budya, they took a mat and they rolled it up, and osivu be biak mumise, and at the bend, they put it in and made it into a lechi, a vertical post. They rolled up a mat and they made it into the bend as a vertical lechi. Amar Rechis, the Rechis says, what's going on over here? Why do they do this? Haloki Rav, Haloki Shmuel. It doesn't follow the opinion of either Rav or the opinion of Shmuel. Why does it follow Rav? The Rav, the Amar Tarasi going foolish. Rav says the Mavi Okum is considered like it's a through and through, even though you can't see the other end, but there is another end there, so it's like a Rishus Rav on one end, the Rishus Rav on the other end. It's called the Mavi Mefoolish. And just putting in a lechi over there is not enough. Tzuras HaPesach boy, he says you need to put in Tzuras HaPesach on one of the two ends, and here you did it. So it's not going according to Rav. I, L'Shmuel, the Amar Tarasi Kisosim, according to Shmuel, the bend makes it like it's a Mavi Sosim. So, hani mili lechi ma'aya. All you need, and it's really not talking about at the bend, you need at the other end, all you need is a lechi, and that's perfectly fine. You have a lechi at this end of the mavi yakum, you have a lechi at that end of the mavi yakum, and you're perfectly fine. This is the way the Menachem Eshev Nefesh learns this question over here. Avol hai, when they put in this budya, this rolled up mat, so, kiven denoshe bezika v'shadilei, if they put in this rolled up mat over here, it's going to blow away in the wind. Lo klumu. It's not considered having a lechi. So, according to the Menachem Eshev Neshev, and you can see this actually in the Girsa in the Rabbeinu Chananel as well, he says, Pirus machatzelis osivu, not in the ukmuse, but bisvasel the mavui. They put it at the lip, at the other end of the mavui. And that would explain why they weren't going like Shmuel. Shmuel says that you need a lechi at the other end. And therefore, this budya, this rolled up mat doesn't function as a good lechi. So lo klumu. So the bottom line is, Rav Chisda says, they weren't following the opinion of Rav, which would require more of a correction, and they weren't following the opinion of Shmuel, which this correction isn't good enough to function as the one lechi that is needed. So in this situation, they didn't seem to follow the opinion of either Rav or Shmuel, but the more qualified, as it says, however, this rolled up mat, v'inoyitz be'sichsa, if they put a peg into it and they attached it firmly to the wall or to the ground, so then the chabre, in this situation, it is a perfectly good lechi, and wherever this lechi was, either it was at the other end or it was somewhere in the middle, so at least it only served as a good lechi for that one side of the mavui okum, then it would be perfectly fine. The problem wasn't that it didn't need a lechi, it needed a lechi, just the problem was that this rolled up mat would blow away in the wind and wouldn't be a valid lechi unless you pegged it into the ground or to the wall in some way. Now we're going to go back to yesterday's shir. Gufa. Amar Yirmiyahu Rav, Amar Rav. The statement that we brought down, the name of Yirmiyahu Rav. We're going to go over that again. And that was the case that we've been discussing in today's shir and all of yesterday's shir. Mavui shenifras b'maloa l'chotzer. We had, again, Rishus Rabim starting us off. We then go into a Mavui. Then we go into a Chotzer. And then we go into another Rishus Rabim. There's a breach in the back of the Chotzer. So Mavui shenifrats b'mloa l'chotzer. So the Mavui goes straight through and through all the way into the Chotzer. And at the back of the Chotzer, the Nifrats are Chotzer b'kinegdo. And there's, from all the way from the front, the Rishus Rabim, all the way to this back Rishus Rabim, there's a breach in the back wall of the Chotzer. So in this situation, it said, in the name of Yirmi Marav, Omer Rav, the Chotzer Muteres, the Chotzer still has its totally contained area, and as long as the people there made their own area Chotzeres for their own Chotzer, you could carry within that Chotzer, or if it was owned by one individual, of course, but the Mavi would be also, the Chotzer would ruin it for the Mavi. That's what we explained yesterday, we just repeated it now, Gufa. Rabbi Barula says to Rabbi Bibi Barabaye, Rabbi, Lo Mishnah Sein, he said, what, he asked, is this statement from Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, Amarab, which is an Amoraic statement, teaching us that we didn't already learn in the following Mishnah. Because the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Beis tells us, Chotzer Kitana Shenifritzul Gedola. You can see examples of this in the art scroll, of course. And in the Pirush Chai, you can find this on page 200 in diagram number 43 or 44. And the case is where you have a smaller courtyard that is totally opened up into a larger courtyard. Now, the larger courtyard is wider than the smaller courtyard. So, in this situation, from the point of view of the larger courtyard, it's still a fully enclosed courtyard. The breach between the smaller courtyard and the larger courtyard is less than 10 amos, so it's called a pesach and not a breach, and therefore you still have four intact walls you can carry within that chotzer. However, that's only gedola muteris, uktan asura, but the smaller courtyard would be osur. Why? Because from the smaller courtyard, there's a wide, full, wide, open opening, and even though it's less than 10 amos, but it's a full breach on that wall, and therefore, you're not allowed to carry in the chotzer unless you make some sort of a change to make that fourth wall into a valid fourth wall to enclose the smaller courtyard. Now, this is exactly the case that we're talking about, that Amar Rav said. So what is the Amora Rav adding on to this Mishnah on Dav Tzadi Beis? So Gemara says, Amalei, so this question was asked from Rabbi Barula to Rabbi Barbaye. So Rabbi Barbaye answers when he says, Imehosim, if we only had the Mishnah on Dav Tzadi Beis, so then, Havamini, you know what I would have said, Hani mili hechadolo ka darsi berabim. In that situation, there is no public traveling from the small chotzer into the large chotzer. And therefore, that's why maybe the Mishnah there said that the large courtyard is still okay. In other words, the reason why it's not a problem for the large courtyard because not a lot of people are trafficking over there. In our case, that Rav Yirmiyahu Rabba brings down the name of Rab, where you have people going from the Mavi to the chotzer, to a Rishus HaRabim, and people going back and forth all the time, so then, afilu chotzer nami, I might have thought that the chotzer is also ruined. So the Chiddush of Rav is that the chotzer is not ruined in this situation. Where it says, but then we also learn, v'anami tanina, we also learn that. Chotzer sharabim nichlas lo, bazu, the yotzer lo bazu, and you have a chotzer, which people go in on both sides, and a lot of people trafficking through here, so what is the halachic status? It's an enclosed chotzer, but there are openings on both sides, and people go into this chotzer, and out of this chotzer on both sides. So in regards to Hilchus Tumah, Rishus HaRabim LeTumah. Now, something can be a Rishus HaRabim in one regard, and be a Rishus HaYachad in another regard. So in regards to Hilchus Tumah, which depends solely upon traffic and numbers of people there, and there are dinim, the Safik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is going to be tar, as opposed to a Safik Tumah Rishus HaYachad is going to be Tameh. So in regards to Tumah status, this chotzer, because of the traffic that goes through, the rabbin nechlasim lazu bazu, the yotzim lo bazu, so then it's Rishus HaRabim in regards to Hilchus Tumah. And any suffik in this situation would be suffik Tumah, Rishus HaRabim would be suffik lahakil. However, in regards to Hilchus Shabbos, Rishus HaYochid, Hilchus Shabbos. So we already learned this, that even though there's a lot of traffic going through there, it doesn't change its status from being Rishus HaYochid. So why would Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba Amar Rav have to teach us this din, which we already learned in the Braisa? So Gemara says, no, if you only had that brisa, imi hasam, you know what I would have said, hava amina, hani mili zeh shelo keneged zeh. That would only be true if they weren't exactly opposite each other. So the openings in the chatzar don't absolutely oppose each other. They're not directly flush one against the other. So in that situation, the brisa is telling me that I would be allowed to go still carry within this chatzar. However, return to the Amud Beis, avozeh keneged zeh, maybe if they were, the openings were directly opposite each other, and malo, maybe I would say no if I only had that brisa. Oh, kamash malon, I need the statement of Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba on my Rav. Moshe says, no, that would be great if you didn't have Rabba. Ula Rabba, the Amar zeh keneged zeh also, but Rabba already taught us that if they're against each other, it's no good. So, ha the Rab, but my mokilo. So then, what do you need Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba on my Rav's statement for? Bezeh shelo keneged zeh, we already learned from Rabba. Rabba explained the Bryce is talking exactly in that situation. So what is, additionally, what is Rav, or Rabba, Amar Rav, telling us? Had Rab, but my Mokila, B'zeh Shalok Keneged Zeh, Tarati Lomeli. Why do I need another statement? So Gemara says, no, if we only had that Bryce, Imei Hasam, to tell us that this is a public area, and yet we call it Rishus HaYachid in regards to Hilchus Shabbos, you know what I would have said? Havamina, Hani Mila Lizrok. We consider Rishus HaYachid L'chumra. We only consider L'chumra, that if somebody were to throw something from the Rishus HaRabim into this Rishus HaYachid, love Dafka throw, if they carried it in there as well, they went from Rishus HaRabim into this area, so we view it as Rishus HaYachid in regards to, you're not allowed to do this. However, Lekula, Avol Taltel, to say that you can carry within this chatzer, no, Emelo, I might have said no. Therefore, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amar Rav, Komash Balon, is coming to be Mechadesh, no, we really consider it like a Rishus HaYochid in regards to all Dinim. Mar now says, Itmar, Mavoi also Kenadol. If you have a Mavoi that's made like a Nadol, Rashi reminds us that a Nadol is a multi-legged creature, a centipede. Rashi brings down from Parsha Shmini, where it says, Marbe Raglayim, right? Zet Nadal. This is a centipede, multi-legged creature. And if you have a Mavui, Rashi says, Ha also Kenadol. And you can see diagrams of this both in the Pirush Chai on page 15, diagram number 85, or diagram number 86. And you can see diagrams of this in the Art Scroll, and you can see diagrams of this on page 17 in the Illustrated Gemara, diagram number 49 and 50, also 51. Now, in any event, if you have such a mavui okum, a multiple mavui okum, in other words, mavui osu kinadol, so now, what's the halacha? Amar Abayi, ose tzuras ha-pesach lagodol, you have to make a tzuras ha-pesach at the end of the large mavui, which has the multiple smaller mavuis opening up into it, and v'hanach kulu, and the rest of them, Mishtru b'lechi v'korah. On their other end, you just have to put a lechi or a korah, and everything is fine. This is going to allow you to carry within this mavui because you have a tzuras ha-pesach at one end, and you have a lechi or a korah at the other end. Now, Amalei Rava, Rava says, come on, who does this go like? If you're telling me it's Kishmuel, the Amar Toroso Kisosom, he says the mavui okum is considered like a mavui that is sosom, like a three-sided mavui. And in that situation, why do you need lomo le tzuras ha-pesach? Why do you need tzuras ha-pesach? A lechi or a korah alone should be all that you need. For Ode, furthermore, Rava asks, how mavi okum davi ben avadar? There once was such a mavi okum just like this. V'chashalei the Rav, they didn't follow Shmuel's opinion. So how come over here they seem to be following Shmuel's opinion? And Shmuel's opinion, in any event, shouldn't require tzuras ha-pesach. So Gemara says, Elo Amar Rava. Rava says, I think you're misunderstanding it. He says, Ose Tzuras HaPesach LeKulu L'Gai Gisa. What they did was they had to make a Tzuras HaPesach between each of these smaller Mavuis going into the larger Mavui. And the other end, the Idach Gisa Mishtu B'Lechi V'Korah. The other end then can just have a Lechi or a Korah. And you can see this again in the diagrams that we just pointed out before. Actually, in the diagram on 86 in the Perush Chai, I think they're missing a lechi or a korah at the very top of the diagram. Every one of the other mavis has a lechi or a korah, and they somehow just forgot to draw in the lechi or the korah at the very top where it says mavi godol. At the end of that line where it says mavi godol, at the top there should have been a lechi or a korah. The Gemara continues with an interesting statement that's going to be made by a number of people who had the name Rav Kahana, and that would be like an underlying theme here. So Amar Rav Kahana, bar Tachlifa, Rav Kahana, who was the son of Tachlifa, said, Mishmei, the Rav Kahana bar Minyumi, said the name of another Rav whose name was Rav Kahana, who was the son of Minyumi, and he said it, Mishmei, the Rav Kahana bar Malkio, who was saying it in the name of a different Rav Kahana, who was the son of Rav Malkio, and he said it, Mishmei, the Rav Kahana, he said in the name of another Rav Kahana, who Argamar's Girsa says was the Rabbe, the Rav, was the Rebbe of Rav, but we actually don't know of a Rebbe of Rav that his name was Rav Kahana. In fact, Rav had a Talmud who was Rav Kahana, we're going to have it later on in the Gemara, and he was a Talmud, eventually Talmud Chaver of Rav, a great, great, great Talmud Chacham, but we don't find any Rav Kahana who was the Rebbe of Rav, so the Bach changes the Girsa around to say Rav Kahana Rabba, the great Rav Kahana. So we have four Rav Kahanas over here. First Rav Kahana said the name, the second Rav Kahana said the name, the third Rav Kahana said the name of this Rav Kahana Rabba. Others say, no, Vamre, that Rav Kahana Barmi Malkio, the third Rav Kahana, he was Hainu Rav Kahana Rabba, or Rabbe the Rabba as he gets as we have, but he was the great Rav Kahana. So it's either a series of four Rabbanim whose name was Rav Kahana, or a series of three Rabbanim whose name was Rav Kahana. In any event, he said as follows, Mavui Shetzido Echot Aruch, if you have a Mavui, and again, you can see this in all of the diagrams. This is much easier to understand even without the diagrams, but the Art Scroll, the Pirush Chai, the Illustrated Gemara all have nice diagrams of this. So he says, a mavui, that one side is longer than the other. Shetzido echad aroch, v'tzido echad kotzer. So you have a mavui that doesn't end flush at the end on the two sides, the walls. One side goes out further than the other side. So how do you go and correct such a mavui to make it carry? You normally put a lechi or korah at the end. So what do you do over here? So he says, as long as pachos mi arba amos, the difference between the two sides, we call it side one, let's say, goes out 20 amma, and side two goes out 19 and a half amma. So as long as the difference between them is less than 4 amos, then no problem. So you're allowed to put the korah, if you're putting a korah on top, the korah normally goes from one side to the other side. See, you can put it from one side to the other side. It'll be a little bit on a diagonal, that's fine. However, arba amos, if there is a difference, one is 20 amma, one is 16 ammas or less, so the walls are significantly different in terms of the size. Not talking about the breach, we're talking about the length of the walls themselves, the two side walls. If there's a significant difference between where they end of more than 4 ammas, so then eino miniach es hakorah elikinegid kotzer. Then when you're putting the korah up, you can't put it on a diagonal, but you have to put it in a perfectly horizontal 90 degree angle to the wall, to the shorter wall, the end of the shorter wall. And that's where the korah has to be placed. That is the opinion of these Rav Kahanas. Rav Amar, Rav says, no. Echod zeh v'echod zeh. In both of these situations, whether it's more than 4 amos or less than 4 amos difference in the size, you're not allowed to do it on a diagonal. Ein maniach es korah el kineged hakotzer. So you have to put it at a 90 degree angle to the end of the shortest side. You can even put it less than that, but you can't go any further out than the length of the shorter side. So you may have 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 feet, 10 amos longer on the other side. That will not be within the area that you'll have to carry because of the korah. So Rav is a little bit stricter than the Rav Kahana opinion. Now, Rav says, I'll give you my reasoning and I'll give you Rav Kahana's reasoning. I'll tell you all of our reasonings. So first, I'll start off with my reasoning, and that is because, what is the understanding? How does a korah work? Korah time of my. How does a korah work to function as a matir to let you carry in the mavui? Mishum heker, because it serves you, I'm not allowed to go beyond this. Again, need the arise, you're allowed to carry there, it's Rishus HaYachid. But we're concerned you're going to go for the Rishus HaYachid mavui into Rishus HaRabbi because they're very, very similar to each other and not realize it. So therefore, we put up a heker. The rabbi said you have to have some sort of a heker. So this korah functions as a heker, as a reminder to you, or something recognizable, that you should not go beyond that carrying anything. But that's if it's horizontal. Ubalachson is on a diagonal, low heavy hecker. You're not going to see it as well, and therefore it won't be able to function as a hecker for you. As Rashi points out, Sharoa b'nei mavui nimshachin umishtamshin b'shus rabim chutz mikineged kosel hakotzer omer mutul ishtamish b'shus rabim. Person seeing this inside and say, hey, they went beyond the short walls distance and they're still carrying. I'm not going to realize that there's the korah above it on a diagonal, and therefore it's going to lead to people carrying. So that's why Rava says, I don't allow it to be anything other than a direct 90-degree angle from the short wall. You can't have it on an angle from the short wall to the long wall. What's the reasoning of the Rav Kahanas that they allowed it? They time did who? I'll tell you the reason for all the Rav Kahanas, what the issue was. They say Korah works under what basis? Korah Mishumai, Mishum Mechitza. It works as a Mechitza. It's like having a wall over there. If you had a real wall over there at an angle, everybody would say it's perfectly good. So if this Korah works as a halachic wall, so then why couldn't it work on an angle? Now we have interesting, Omer Rav Kahana, our Rav Kahana that I mentioned before, who was a Talmud Chaver of Rav, he says, Since we mentioned all these Rav Kahanas, so my name's also Rav Kahana, I'm going to throw my 2 cents worth as well. I therefore want to say something as well over here. What am I going to say? That which we said, according to Rav Kahana, is that you're allowed to put, if it's less than 4 amos difference in the size between the short wall and the longer wall, so you're allowed to then put the korah on an angle between them, lo amar, and we only said that was allowed, eloshen balach sono yosem yeser. That's if now, as a result of this, remember the breach in the mavoi, the hole or opening on the fourth side of the mavoi, is never allowed to be more than 10 amos. So, it's going to be less than 10 amos over here as well. But here, since the long wall is extending out further than the short wall, so instead of it being 10 amos on the right angle, it's now going to be the hypotenuse. If that's going to be more than 10 amos, it's also no good. Lo amor neleshen kalach sono, yeh ser mi eser. If the entire length of the korah still has to be less than 10 amos, even though the breach from one wall to the other is less than 10 amos, but the diagonal, the hypotenuse of that right angle, that right triangle also has to be less than 10 amos. If it would be more than 10 amos, again, feminine word eser, so it's talking about amos over here, so then everybody, even the Rav Kahanas, would agree that you're not allowed to have it on a diagonal, but you have to have it straight across from the end of the short wall at a 90-degree angle to that short wall going to the other wall, because the breach can't be more than 10 amos. And if the diagonal is more than 10 amos, that's like the breach being more than 10 amos. Continuing along this vein of discussion, in the base medrash. Okay, wherever the korah is the korah allowed to be carried underneath it? Is the korah considered, so to say, part of the enclosed area of the mavoi, or is the korah the boundary and underneath the korah is outside of the carryable area underneath the mavoi? That's the question. Can you use the area underneath the korah to go carry? So we'll have three great amarayim saying each side of the argument. Rav, the Rabbi Chia. Interesting, Rabbi Chia is spelled here with a hey. I don't know if that's our regular Rabbi Chia, who was the uncle of Rav and the Talmud Muvok of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. In any event, this Rabbi Chia, the Rabbi Yochanan, and the great Rabbi Yochanan, this is a great lineup. Amr, they said, they said, you're allowed to go and carry underneath this korah. On the other hand, you have three other great Amorim, Shmuel, the Bar Plukta of Rabbi, and you have Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi, you have Rabbi's son, that's why it made sense before that Rabbi Chia, who was the Talmud of Rabbi, would be arguing with Rabbi's son, because they were both Talmidim of Hakim of Rabbi, and Shimon Lakish, who was the Bar Plukta normally of Rabbi Yochanan. These three great Bali Plukta, they said, you're not allowed to go and carry underneath the korah. What are they arguing about? Let us say this is what they're arguing about. That the group that says you're allowed to carry underneath the korah, the first three, Rav, Rav Chi, and Rav Yochanan, they hold, Demar, Savar, those three Amoraim hold, korah mishum heker. Again, the function of the korah is to remind people that you're not allowed to go beyond this point and carry. And therefore, in this situation, the heker will apply all the way out to the end of the korah. When you see you're no longer under the korah, you say, oh, I got to stop. But until there, you're allowed to carry. So that's the opinion of the Mekilim over here. And the Machmirim, Shmuel, and Rebbe's son, Rebbe Shimon ben Rebbe, and you have Reish Lakish. So these three hold a ma'asav of a korah, Mishum Mechitza. It works as a Mechitza. And how does it work? The beginning part is the Mechitza. Beyond the beginning part, it's outside the mechitza. We say pi tikra yori v'sosem. It's in the beginning part, and therefore you can't carry underneath the korah. Where it says lo lav dafka, not necessarily so. Why? In fact, everybody could hold the kuli amo korah mishum heker. Everybody could say the reasoning that it's a heker. It's functioning over here to remind you don't carry beyond this point. So then, how come those don't say the same thing that you can carry underneath the korah? So v'halcha b'kamim lifli. This is what they're arguing about. Demar sovar heker miligavav. According to the Machmirim, Shmuel, Rebbe's son, and Rav Shimon Lakish, they hold that the heker is for the people on the inside. So therefore, the heker is for them. As soon as they see the mavoi, I can't go beyond that. So you can't carry underneath the mavoi. Umar Savar, the three Mekilim, Rav, Rav Chia, and Rav Yochanan, they say, Umar Savar, hekero milavar. The heker is for the people on the outside, that they shouldn't come and carry from the outside into the inside. So therefore, underneath the korah is considered inside. So that's teretz number one. Yiboy Seymo, teretz number two is no. In fact, the kuli amo mishum mechitza. Everybody holds it's a mechitza. First teretz was everybody holds it, it's a heker reasoning. And you can have the machlokas between the three mekilim and the three machmirim, even if you all agree that it's working as a mechitza. So it depends. How does a mechitza work? Mechitza works because of the concept of pi tikra yored v'sosein. that the lip of the roof comes straight down at a right angle to the ground, as if it's a wall there. So this is what they're arguing about. The Mar Savar, the Machmirim, Shmuel, Rebbe Son, and Reish Lakish, the Mar Savar, Chudu Apnimi, or Rebbe Sosin. They look at it, the inner part of the Korah, the part that's the of the Korah, the ceiling, the lip of the Korah, that's towards the inside. So they say that's what you look at, Pitik or Yori Vesosim, and therefore you can't carry beyond that. And the three Mekilim, you have the opinion of Rav, Rav Chia, and Rav Yochanan, Umar Savar, Chudu, Achitz on Yori Vesosim. No, it's the end of the Korah that you look at, Pitik or Yori Vesosim, and therefore they allow you to carry underneath the Korah. However, everybody agrees that if you're dealing with a lechi, then you can't carry in the area across from the lechi. So you have the lechi on one side of the wall, whether it's a long wall or short wall, the lechi is up to, but not including the area of the lechi, can be carried in. Everybody agrees to that. That would be osur. What's the reasoning behind this? Because a lechi has no substance to it. A korah has to have a certain dimension to it. But a lechi could be a very, very thin thing. And therefore, it's possible that a person would mistakenly say, well, I carried over here, and they went beyond the lechi. Because even if the lechi is very thin, it can function as a lechi. So why? You could argue, well, I have a 5-foot-long lechi, and therefore I can carry against it. But no, we have to be concerned when you have a 5-centimeter-long lechi, and therefore you're not going to be able to carry against that. So therefore the rabbi said, lo plug, according to Rechista, across from the lechi you're never allowed to carry, as opposed to the korah, which has a significance to it. There's a machlokas. By the lechi there is a machlokas. We'll just do a little bit more, and then we'll stop. What about if a person noats shtei yisedos b'shtei kosle mavoy mibachutz? Now, we said normally that the korah goes and lies on top of the wall on the left and on top of the wall on the right, and it goes across the entire space, and that's either a heker or a mechitza. That's how a korah works. But what happens if you made some sort of a hook or a peg into the wall on the outside, and then you put the korah into this hook, and the korah goes on the outside of the mavoy against the wall, from one side to the other side through the entire open space, but it's not on the walls. It's in a hook or some sort of a structure that holds this beam that goes from one side to the other side. Not stay say those. He has two pegs over here on each side. They stay closely mavoy mibachutz, but they're on the outside. And then viniach korah gabem, and he puts the korah over them. So it's not on the wall. It's in a hook in the outer part of the wall. So mao, is this good or is this not good? Is this korah going to be matir mavi to carry in or not? So Rav Chisda responds to his Talmud Rami Bar Chama, and he says, "Ledivri hamatir osur, ledivri osur mutter." It's the exact opposite of the machlokas that we just had a moment ago. That the three mekilim are here going to be machmirim, and over there the three machmirim over here are going to be mekilim. Rashi explains this as follows: "Ledivri osur," four lines on the bottom. Those that said before that you're not allowed to go and use the area tachas hakorah, so they would hold mishum chudu hapnimi yori v'sosim. So it's the inner lip, so to say, that comes down. So therefore, in this situation, this korah is up against the wall. It's not on top of the wall, but it's up against the wall. So that lip goes straight down, and therefore it would matter the mavi to be carried in. On the other hand, those three amorayim that were makel before, as the Rashi says, two lines on the bottom, l'shtamish tachas ha-korah, so they hold chitzon yorev v'sosim. They say that the korah works by the chitzon being yorev v'korah. So now, if this korah is not on the wall, it's attached to the outer part of the wall, so it's the outer part of the korah that's going to go down, so that's far enough away from the mavoi. It's not attached to the mavoi. It's far enough away that it can function. Aye, what about lavud? It's within still three tvachim. We don't apply lavud to a theoretical construct, and this P tikra yori v'sosim is a theoretical construct. It's a halachic theoretical wall, and there you can't have the principle of lavud. So if you have it on the inner aspect, which is what the machmir in the previous position held, so that's actually a kul over here, and that it's now against the wall, there's no lavud, and it goes straight down. It's a perfectly good halachic construct. But if you hold like the Mekilim in the previous one, that it's by the outer lip, so here the outer lip is not against the wall, and it's a theoretical construct, and you can't apply the principle of lavud. That's the first opinion. Rava says, however, Rava Ma'aladivri, Oser Nami Oser. He says, no, even the Machmir in the first place, they're also going to be Machmir over here. Why is that? Because Ba'inim Korah Agabe Mavoi Veleka, because the din of a Korah, it has to be on top of the wall and not attached to the front part of the wall, the face of the wall, not on top of the wall, that's no good. It has to be on top of the wall. Mitzvah Hashem, more discussion on this tomorrow, but with that we conclude today's shiur.